PTF and Sean Clancy back with you in the paddock at Cheltenham. Got some sunshine, which has been a rare sight this week. Hopefully we can keep that going throughout the day. Hopefully Sean can keep his excellent ideas going as well to hopefully keep us in a little bit of money here on Gold Cup Friday. How has your week been so far?
We've had a great time. I think I was better. Handicapping-wise, probably better the first 2 days. Yesterday was tricky. I don't know if that's because I had more time to prepare for the first 2 days and, you know, the Guinness got involved in the third. I don't know. That's a good question. I gamble and have fun with it, but this place is, I don't really care. I mean, when I see a really good race here that I don't have a strong opinion, I just won't have a bet because I don't want it to affect my experience of watching a good race.
Yeah, from a sporting point of view, as we've gotten into a little bit on these shows, that's really where this place succeeds as combination of gambling game and sport, the way horse racing can be when it's amazing. Gold Cup, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's start off at the very beginning. Do you have a bet in the first here to get us started in the JCB Triumph Hurdle?
I thought it was very tricky. I mean, Willie Mullins holds the cards as always. I went Carget just because of the price. I thought, you know, she beat everybody in their start before this. She's got it. She's drifted out. She's not even drifted. She's always been a little bit higher than the others.
Yeah.
Stormheart's very good. Paul Townham went that direction. They think people say she'd improve more than Carget, but I don't know. Bobby Frankel used to say to me, he's like, you guys take the horse to finish second in a bad trip. You guys are going to go broke by betting that horse instead of the horse that actually beat the horse with a bad trip. Just bet what you know. And so Carget beat him. I beat everybody else. I feel like that's some information, especially at the price.
Yeah.
I thought out of the Mullins horses, Mashborough, I thought might improve a lot. I thought he's pretty slick, good jumper. A little bit close in the start before that. He might improve. That was his first start for Mullins. So he might improve slightly more than the others, but I just thought at the price she beat everybody, why not stick with it?
You're making a very good point at the price. I did go the Stormheart route, but I, you know, on that theory that the distance could be a difference maker in here, but sticking with the form very often. It's you actually who had my favorite line ever about trip handicapping that I bust out all the time when we get sometimes enamored of these horses who continually find trouble. I don't know if you made this up or you were quoting somebody else, but you said something to the effect of you get a lot better trips in a Ferrari than a Yugo.
Yeah, no question. Look, no, when I was riding races, I mean, I would literally ride the first race and finish fourth and everybody be mad at me. And then I ride the second race and I'm just simply on a better horse and I ride a better race and they think I'm a hero. I'm like, no, wait a minute. I was the same guy in the first race as the second race, but I was just on a better horse in the second race. So, like, you get in a lot of trouble when you don't have enough horse. I mean, you're trying to go for a spot and you just don't have that spot. Then you start thinking because you can't work on instincts. When you're on a good horse, it's all instincts. And that's where being a jockey, you never want to think about anything. You're just making moves, and you're making the right moves. And the better the horse you ride, the better the moves you can make instinctively.
The flow state, they call it. It happens with horse players.
It's exact same thing. Exactly the same thing. When you're on a roll, you just get in a roll, and you go with it, and you don't overthink. I mean, the key is, I mean, I'm not a great shooter. I've been a few shoots around Virginia, and they kind of give me some lessons. And I was shooting one day, and I was like hitting, you know, the clay pigeons are going, and I turned to the guy. I said, this is just like riding races. As soon as I think about it, I miss. And he's like, exactly. So that's how I look at it.
Great stuff. Let's move on to the second race of the day here. For me, the betting I am going to do on this card is probably going to be earlier rather than later. I think the end of the day might just be more of a Cheltenham celebration. But what can we do? This was not a race I was planning on having a particularly large bet in, unless you can give me some confidence in this county hurdle.
No, I thought it was very tricky. Obviously, these hurdle races at Cheltenham, and you get big fields, which are great, but it's tough, and you got to decide who's been aiming at this, who's already exposed, who's not exposed. I went Zenta just because I like her. I've seen her. I was kind of watching her over this season. I thought she was a decent price. Last time I looked, I think she was 12-1. I kind of liked her. King of Kingsfield, I think, is pretty good. Same thing. You got Jack Kennedy, Gordonelli. Now, as you guys have listened over the last couple of days, I-10 and I get in trouble, start leaning toward the J.P. McManus, the Gigginstown, the Gordonellis, the Willie Mullins. And that's where I got to be a little careful. And sometimes I don't really see a horse kind of beyond those horses, so I do have to be a little careful there. I mean, Dan Skelton, 15, I can't say this French name, but La Dessous. La Dessous. I think this horse is set up for it. Dan Skelton's been so good this week, obviously, with the handicaps. He always has been, but he's been even exceptional. And I think he had, probably had some value on a horse like this early now. He's done it all week, so there's not much value
there.
That's
what I'm worried about. No, I'm worried that card has been played.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as we always talk about, look, you want to be the first one in the trend, not the last guy in the trend. You get killed because there's no value by the time you get to the last trend. But I was going to play with Zenta. I was going to play with King of Kingsfield. And I give a shout-out. I love this horse, Mr. Freedom. I actually tried to buy him as an American Hurdle horse. I love this horse. Small yard. He was cruising here last year and got in trouble. Saddle slipped. And not saying he's going to win, but and the ground's probably gone against him. But I think he's a cool horse. If you just watch that horse, overachiever, small yard, I like that horse.
Good one to point out for sure, you know, this race.
Yeah, it'd be a giant price. And just for fun, I mean, that's more like a horseman. Like, I just like the horse, so you could kind of follow him.
From talking to you about horses like that over the years, I wouldn't hesitate to throw in some small ways and just one to have on your tracker. And you know, maybe today won't be the big day, but usually when you point them out, they have a big day in their future.
Yeah, well, I was laughing yesterday. Captain Guinness, he's been on my tracker.
Yeah, we talked about him.
Years or whatever.
You gave him a good shout the other
night. And I mean, I rode on my tracker, brought down while going well in the Supreme.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody saw that, but like, he's been on my track. I have Manella Indo still on my tracker just for fun because I like, oh yeah, I remember when I liked that horse early on. I had Tiger Roll. He was on my tracker from the beginning. And I used to laugh. I'm like, oh yeah, my tracker. He's like favorite for the Grand National. Like, I don't really need the tracker anymore. But it's still kind of cool to see a horse that you put on there early.
Oh, that's great.
And you followed his career. I think that's fun.
Let's keep it rocking and rolling down the card here in the Albert Bartlett.
Again, another tricky race. I mean, I went reading Tommy Wrong. It's short, and yeah, it might be. I mean, as I said to you, 2-1, I thought it was short. You thought, it's maybe not that short. I think he's set up for it, Willie Mullins. Now, Willie Mullins went 0-11 yesterday, you know, had to manage a couple fours. And I wrote it in my blog, like, Willie Mullins is the greatest of all time, deservedly so. But Willie Mullins will win more races at the Cheltenham Festival this week. He'll win more races at the Cheltenham Festival in history, maybe, than any trainer ever. But he will lose more races at the Cheltenham Festival than anybody, right? I mean, I think it's really important.
Game.
Yeah, it's a huge numbers game. I mean, if a trainer came here, if you came here with Tully Hill and El Fabiolo, like, that would be your, like, that'd be like your greatest, like, greatest Cheltenham. Like, I have these two unbelievable great horses, and they both get stuffed. They get beat, right? And even Fast Sal Vega, which we talked about yesterday. I mean, I've just never liked the horse. I think he's a cool horse as a person, but as a better, I've never liked the horse. But if you came here as a trainer with those horses and they got stuffed, that'd be like the end of the week, the end of the season. Might be the end of your career, right? But Willie Mullins with the numbers, he just bounces back, and it's just, you know, it's disappointing, sure. But he's got numbers and he's got power. So I thought reading Tommy Wrong's very good in here. I went Captain Teague. I thought was interesting. I thought Gidley Park was interesting. Again, you got to look at the board. I'm not sure they're going to bring you a lot of value. Gidley Park's done nothing wrong. Captain Teague's a cool horse. Paul Nichols. People acted like Paul Nichols' yard was out of form. I didn't think so, and he showed it yesterday. I think he's fine. I wouldn't worry about that at all. I didn't like any Nichols horses really up for the first couple of days, and I think the horses that he's run that really fit have run well, so I wouldn't worry about that.
I think that's fair. I mean, I was one of the people saying, maybe what's going on here, but I think you might be right.
You get
fooled by the random.
Well, and did you love, I mean, if you love the Nichols horse that didn't run well, that's one thing. But if you didn't really like, I mean, I think Stay Away Faye is a cool horse, but I just didn't like him in the spot. And he didn't run well. I didn't blame that on barn form. I blame that on just, I didn't think the horse was probably set up for the right day on the right race.
I think that's fair.
Just how I look at it.
I'll take a little shot with reading Tommy Wrong in there. I wouldn't want really any shorter than 2-1. I'd probably let it go if it tightens up a bit more, but I think that's worth just a little flyer, one of the couple of bets I'll definitely be making here today.
Right, and the one thing, I think anybody that listens to us, you have a totally different point of view, which I think is fun when you're gambling. Like, if you see a favorite that's 1 point wrong, you will bet that horse.
Yeah.
I just, that's not really my style, because I kind of duck and stabbing and weaving, and I try to find horses at bigger prices. But that's just how we operate, which I think is cool. I mean, I think it's been fun. I've learned a lot from you, and you've probably learned a little bit from me, too.
Certainly, it's a two-way street.
Yeah, I think it's
important. And yeah, for me, it is funny. I'm much more now about sticking with a horse that I pick, doing the TV stuff, doing the podcast, doing writing, because it's like, as a writer, I feel like I'd feel terrible saying, oh, wait, I had the winner. And he's like, well, but you picked this horse. And, oh, no, the price was too short, so I had this. As a gambler, you have to do that.
Yeah.
But as a pundit, it makes my teeth itch a little.
Yeah.
I'd rather get the worst of it a little bit and be able to say, hey, my horse won.
Yeah, exactly. And anybody knows me. I'm looking at it from a horseman's point of view, a writer's point of view, and probably third as a handicapper. I was not like my original, kind of introduction to sport was not really a handicapper's point of view, which again, I've learned a lot from you. It's been fun to see kind of the handicapper's point of view and where I'm coming from it from a horseman's point of view, a little bit as a writer's point of view, but gambling for me is always kind of, it just kind of came along for the ride over
sure.
the years after, sorry, missing like, you know, several big horses over the years. Like what was the Breeders' Cup, like early on, right? Went to Hollywood, I think it was Hollywood Park or
sure.
And like at the end of the day, you and Frank Sixtoni, one of our great friends, you were like, man, you had a great day. Oh my God. Like,
oh, were
you
talking
great.
About the Mandela day?
Yeah. And
oh
I was
my God,
like,
that was ridiculous.
I was
you
like,
loved all those Mandela
yeah, and
winners.
I was like, oh. Well, no, I didn't really have that great a day. And I'm like, yeah, action this day. I talked about him all week. And I didn't bet him. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, Johar. Johar, I love. Everywhere I went for a week, I went, man, who's that horse? I'm like, oh, that's Johar. Oh, I'm like walking out of the kitchen. Oh, who's that? Man, that's a beautiful horse. Johar. I mean, it happened all week. So pleasantly perfect, I love. They just
you made us
great.
A lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. But that's where I'm a little slow on the uptake. That's who I am. It's fine. I don't. It's no problem.
Santa Anita, the man oh man, Deli.
Oh, that was.
2003,
yeah, it was
maybe?
Santa Anita. Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Santa Anita.
Let's get to the big one, my friend, the Gold Cup. I mean, to me, I'm not saying anything that isn't screaming at you on the paper, but I mean, doesn't Gallop and Deschamps have to kind of underperform to lose?
Yeah, I think he does. Look, there's races that I'm just going to watch. I'm really probably not going to put any money into the race because I think sometimes it affects how you watch a race. I'm going to stand back and just, I think he's as close to a certainty as there is. I mean, last year he was, nothing went right. I thought Paul Towne on one of his greatest rides to just keep kind of maneuvering and shifting and making moves. But he's obviously the best horse. His form's been good this year. Fast or slow, I think he's obviously the second best horse against him. He's beat him before.
Yep.
He has a chance. Martin Brazil, as we talked about, is very, very shrewd, very good trainer. I was given Gentleman's Game. It's just a total bomber in there.
Yeah.
I think Mouse Mars, I don't think. Everybody knows. Very shrewd, very smart. He's a novice, hadn't had a lot of runs. Obviously has problems, doesn't run them often. But I thought that was pretty bold to come here. And I kind of liked him maybe as a price.
Yeah,
horse,
I had the same two to you. So definitely a little exacta there if the price gets too short on the international tote betting. It's the Gold Cup. I'm going to definitely have a bet. If Gallop and Deschamps stays odds against, I'll probably bet to win and have a little exacta with the three we talked about.
Yeah, I'm just going to watch the race as a fan. I mean, I bet Gallop and Deschamps in the Martin Pipe 3 years ago, whenever that was. It was 8-1. I mean, it's like, wow, those are the moves you got to make,
yes.
right? Like, I need, like, whatever I bet that day, like, I shouldn't be going back in the Gold Cup when he's, you know, what, an eighth of the price. So I'm
going to
stand back and watch a cool horse.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
Gold Cup's a great race. I mean, yeah. To me, I stand back and watch races, and I enjoy those races.
This year, I'm not going to do this, but many parts of the year, this becomes the get-out portion of the card.
Yeah,
these last three, and they're historically, for me, very, very tough, but curious to see what you have about this Hunter's Chase.
Look, it was tricky. I mean, I ended up on It's on the Line. I think partially because of the horse yesterday that you know what I'm thinking.
Yes.
I kind of missed that, which was silly. So I've kind of gone that direction. I'm probably doing a ricochet a little bit looking at that horse. But, I mean, Emmett Mullins is a genius. Derek O'Connor, as you saw yesterday, is a genius. I mean, he was, as he even said, he was like on plan. I mean, he had plan A, B, C, D. He was probably on Z, you know, by the time he, you know, finished. But that
good
horse,
usage of the local
yeah, exactly.
parlance
like that.
There
yeah,
with
yeah,
Z.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I got a few of those. I come home, people are like, what? Like, yeah, A to Z. I thought he's very tough. Premier Magic is a nice horse. Did nothing wrong. Won it last year. I mean, he's like, there's nothing different or nothing against him from what he did last year. I thought he was impressive. Fern's Lock. These races, you got to go for those jockeys, Barry O'Neill and those kind of guys. I bet a couple kids yesterday, and you know, over the first fence in midair, I said, oh boy, I'm in trouble here. Just to, even just their style over a jump, I said, oh, you know,
the amateur riders.
Yeah, and I love those guys, and I root for those guys, but. I mean, these guys, Derek O'Connor would be, I mean, he's as professional.
Amateur in name only.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a genius. And so watching those guys, I think it's really important. I learned that very early. I remember coming here and looking around the paddock and going like, I wasn't even sure some of these guys could get a leg up in the paddock, much less ride, you know, 3.5 miles over fences at Cheltenham.
I think it was you. It could have been one of the other boys I met here in the early days of Cheltenham gave me the angle on the amateur races. And it's more for other meets at the Cheltenham, but it applies here too. Pick the ones that look like jockeys.
Yeah, exactly. You look in the paddock and say, oh, that's a jockey. That's a jockey. Yeah, it's really important. We have, a friend of mine ran a horse here, and it, like he said, yeah, I knew I was in trouble when our jockey was riding around the parade ring waving to his friends and family. Like, oh, hello, oh, my gosh. Oh. He thought, oh, boy, we're in trouble. And he almost, like, wanted to take a second lap of the paddock to see more friends and, like, schoolmates and things. He's like, oh, this is a disaster. And, yeah. it was a disaster.
Not exactly mind on business.
No, exactly.
Let's keep it going. We got two more races to talk about for this Cheltenham 2024, and it continues with this mare's chase.
I took a stand against Dinah Blue.
Me too. At
the short price, I mean, again, the price is everything. She's really short, and I'm just not sure she wants to stay. I mean, I don't think it's impossible that she'll stay, but at that price, I don't want to have that kind of question. And so I was going to take a stand against her. Allegory DeVassi is where I went. I thought Paul Town and Willie Mullins again. I mean, they're so good. Better price. Limerick Lace, I thought, she's got a chance too, but I'm not going to take a short price. Like, you go back to the Gold Cup, I mean, if you take a short price on Gallop and Deschamps, and I'm not saying you're wrong by taking a short price, but, like, what is his flaw in the Gold Cup? Like, what's his flaw? He's done it before.
Yeah.
He can handle any ground. He's got the greatest jockey today. He's got the greatest trainer. He's beat these horses. Like, I really don't see a flaw. So then, two races later, do you want to take a horse that, like, that's generally the same price that I think has a flaw? I'm not saying she's not going to win.
Anyway.
A question.
Yeah.
Flaw is probably too strong a word, but like, I think there's a question. Like I said yesterday, Facile Vega, people yesterday, and this is where you get in trouble, and I think the mistakes you make. Like, oh, Willie Mullins is finally stretching out Facile Vega. He's going to love 2.5. And even Patrick Mullins' son, I've been telling Willie he's got to stretch him out. If Willie Mullins hasn't stretched out Facile Vega yet, I think that's a good indication that he doesn't think he wants 2.5. And who's better at knowing a horse than Willie Mullins? You and I can't stand here and act like we know more about Facile Vega than Willie Mullins. I mean, and so even this race, Willie Mullins has never really she ran 2.5 once over hurdles and didn't run very well.
Yeah.
And he ran in the Johnny Henderson last year 2 miles. I gotta take a stand.
I'm totally with you. Just on the tape, and this is another angle you taught me, is trying to just find those horses that really seem to relish, like, going up the hill.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Dino Blue's in that category.
She doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
No, exactly. No, you want those horses that get to the bottom of the hill and they keep staying on, they keep plugging away. Now, again, what's tricky now with the festival with so many races, the trickle down sometimes, they'll still, like,
they just win
people are like, Lossy Mouth doesn't want to. I'm like, Lossy Mouth, she'll stay 2.5 against this group. Now, she might not stay 2.5 against the best group there is, but so I think that's where you can somewhat keep that in mind. But I don't know. I just think she's got too big a question at a short price.
Let's do the get out of all the get out races annually. One of the trickiest, the Martin Pipe.
Yeah.
Love the name of this race for sure, Martin Pipe. All the races he was winning at the festival when we started coming. And you know, you got to figure the David Pipe runner in here is one that's certainly well-intended, shall we say. But I wasn't sure. Looking at it, I decided I didn't want to go for that semi-sentimental angle. In the end, I threw up my hands. Who are you picking?
I thought it was real tricky. I mean, this is a race. I mean, look, we bet Gallop and Deschamps here in the Martin Pipe. I mean, he's at 8-1. He was just – so I think that those are the kind of horses you want to look in here. I thought Key de Bourbon – whatever you want to say, Key
that works.
Barbone. Yeah, that was pretty good.
I'll give you that.
That sounds like a Jamie Hill and Mike McMahon horse from Kentucky, right? they wouldn't be saying it that way, but I just thought it was the best handicapped horse. You know, low miles. I think out of all the horses in the race, that like still could have a big upside. I thought he was the one. I'm going to look at the price on him, but I did like him in here. Better days ahead. I thought was tough. I like him. Waterford Whisper, but those aren't real. They're not real clever. I mean, not getting anything that original
there. At the top of the market.
Yeah, but. I mean, I think those are tricky. Yeah, J.J. Riley maybe, but I'm a little concerned now. I'm just falling into the Dan Skelton bandwagon at this stage of the meet, so I think you want to be careful.
Potential wedding funeral situation.
Yeah,
like
you
we
want to be careful. Again, the value's gone. I mean, you want to do it early. Langerdan a year later after doing it before. Those type of horses, I think, when you get that opportunity now, that's probably gone. But that's where I'm going to go. I would never want to try to get out at the Martin Pipe at the end of the festival because you're just going to end up in worse shape. So I'm not too worried about trying to get out at the last.
Token bets for me basically through today. I'll take two shots in those races we talked about earlier, getting a little more involved. But, you know, this year I'm hoping what I've done betting-wise at the festival can be a bit of a template for me where it's you bet. You know, I'm willing to bet X a race, you know, if that's a low number, as long as then the opinion is 10X. I think in theory it should probably be even a bigger multiple than that. I don't have the discipline to do that, but that formula has gotten me feeling like I'm making smart bets. And so far, a little bit of money in the coffers. We'll see how it ends up today. But, Sean, you've been amazing all week. Really appreciate you, brother.
Look, it's been fun. I just think for anybody, what I've always said to be when anybody at home in America, which would be our biggest listening audience, you come here, and I've had people say to me, oh, I said, come on, come to Cheltenham. You got to come to Cheltenham. They'll say, oh, but it's jump racing. I promise you, you come here, and it's not jump racing. It's just great racing. It's great sport. And I tell people, I think if the two of us went to the Hamiltonian, we wouldn't be there going, oh, but it's harness racing. Yeah. I'm not a big harness racing fan, but I think if we were at the Hamiltonian, you'd be like, man, this is awesome. And that's the way it is here. It's just been a joy of my life to come here and watch these horses over these years. Like we talked about Paisley Park, to watch him walk off the stage yesterday. 7 festivals in a row. He's safe. He's sound. He's lost a step. Sure, we've all lost a step. But just to say goodbye to that horse, I just think, just love it.
It's a special place. No special better festival. Note to leave it on for Sean Clancy. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatel. May you win all your photos.